Testament. So if you're jumping in fresh today, or maybe you've been gone for a couple weeks, over the past few weeks, we have been discussing the topic of prayer. And I think that one of the things that we've discovered as we've wrestled with this is that while most of us desire a strong prayer life, it's an area where many of us struggle. I don't know about you guys, but I tend to find sometimes my mind wanders when I pray. Sometimes maybe we feel like our prayers are kind of just repetitive. We don't maybe know what to pray or what to pray for. Times we wonder, does God even hear when we pray? And you see, and all that can lead to an unfruitful prayer life. And we can kind of feel like we're stuck at this place where we go like, well, what do I do now? Well, I have good news for you. And that is this, that Jesus taught his disciples, he taught you and I, or is teaching you and I, that we can have a robust and rewarding prayer life. And he says that this is the key. We got to learn to pray like Jesus prayed. So what Jesus does is when his disciples are going, all right, teach us what it looks like to pray. Jesus gives his disciples what has become known as the Lord's Prayer, which is found here in Matthew chapter 6. Now, I want to encourage you this morning that we've said this over the past few weeks, that the Lord's Prayer is not kind of a mantra just to be mindlessly repeated, but it's a guide to help shape our prayers so that way we're praying according to God's will. Now, when we say that according to God's will, we've noticed that each week God has been revealing to us what his will is. What his will is for our understanding, for who he is. What his will is for our lives, and that his kingdom would rule in our lives. What it looks like to trust him for our provisions. And now this week, he reveals to us more, and that is this, that God's will is for his people to be people who walk in forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, starting here in verse 12, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Maybe your translation says, forgive us of our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us. You know, here is a truth. We can be the most religious people alive. We can have extraordinary faith. We could pray on our knees for 5 hours a day. We could fast 3 days a week. We could give all of our money to the poor. We could do all those things. But if we are not people who walk in forgiveness, then the one thing that we can't be is Christian. Now, I know that for some of you, right, that kind of stung. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? But the reality is that forgiveness is central to the Christian faith. Right? We can do all these amazing religious things, but if we're not people who walk in forgiveness, then we can't be Christians. Why is that? Well, think about it. First and foremost, right? The center of the Christian faith is this, that we serve a God who forgives. Romans chapter 10, listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now, Paul, what he's doing here, we read this scripture and we're like, man, like, I don't know about you guys, I feel a little beat up when I read that. But what Paul's doing is he's trying to get us to understand. Sometimes we have this idea like, yeah, you know, we're not too bad. But Paul says, no, hang on, you got to see things from how God sees it. And what God, this is how God sees it. God sees that every person is broken. Every person is a sinner. Every person is in need of redemption. Right? He says, all have turned aside. There's none who can go before God and say, God, look at me. I'm righteous. I'm good. I found it interesting. I was in a meeting this week, and one of the people was sharing about how they had invited a coworker to come to church. And the coworker said, yeah, I'm too messed up to go to church. I need to get some stuff taken care of in my life. You know, and I say that kind of with a smile, but when I was hearing it, and I've heard that before, I sat there and my heart just broke. This idea of, I don't know, I can't really go to church because my life is kind of messed up. Or sometimes maybe we hear kind of the reverse side to that coin, which is, you know, Christians act like they're perfect. Let me say this, to be a Christian is to say this, that I am broken. That I am not perfect, that my life is a mess. That without the saving, redeeming love of Jesus Christ, I'm on my own. Right? There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. Because to be a Christian is to say this, I'm not perfect. I am a sinner. I am broken. I got to get my life together to go to church? No, I go to church so I can be with my brothers and sisters and receive accountability and encouragement and you know, strength and community, and then hear the scriptures and worship and grow so I can live into this new life of following Jesus. Not because I'm perfect, because of the exact opposite. See, we're all sinners. And we need God's grace and we need his forgiveness. Which is exactly what God does through Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel is this, that God entered into creation as the man Jesus. And that through him, God's not condemning the world, but God is saving the world, forgiving us of our sins. Because Jesus was the only one who could live a perfect and sinless life before the Father. And that he did that. And as a perfect and sinless sacrifice, he went to the cross and he suffered so that you and I would not have to. Right? God's not condemning the world. God's saving the world. And when we come to God as broken sinners, and we ask for his grace, we ask for his forgiveness, he extends it to us as a gift that we can't earn, a gift that we can't do anything that justifies us receiving it. It is simply and solely a gift from the Lord. But it's a gift that God doesn't want us just to experience. It's a gift that he wants us to walk in and extend. Jesus, when he teaches his disciples about prayer, and he teaches them this, forgive us as we forgive others, what he's saying is this, that when we pray, we can't just ask for forgiveness. We got to extend it as well. We have to be people who give forgiveness to others. Isn't it easier to say that than actually do it? Right? Most of us are sitting here going like, yep, that sounds good there, preacher boy, you know, but then in our heads we're going, yeah, a whole nother thing to actually walk it out. Because this is the truth. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness may be one of the most difficult things that we ever do in this life. I mean, think about it. Forgiveness is so difficult that it costs Jesus his life. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel like it might cost me my own as well. Yet it's something we're commanded to do. So as we think about it, what I want to do is I was kind of praying and I was thinking about this message, right? This statement in the Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive us as we forgive. And just, I was wrestling with it, like, man, this is tough stuff. I think it's much easier last week where God says, live generously, take care of others, trust the Lord for your provisions. Like, I think that's way easier than forgive. But I think there's a lot of bad stuff out there about forgiveness, about what the Bible actually teaches. So I came up with this. What I wanted to do is I want to give you five things that forgiveness isn't and five things that forgiveness is. Because I recognize this, that there are many people in this room today who you're wrestling with this. You're dealing with a wound. There's something in your life. It might be something that happened years ago. It might be something fresh. It might be something that happened this morning that you're wrestling with. And if you're not, well, eventually you probably will be, because it just seems to be kind of how life goes. So what I want to do, five things that forgiveness isn't and five things that forgiveness is. We're going to start with the isn't. And if I give these and you're going like, hey, there's more, you got to wait until the is, right? I'm going to match them up. So don't worry. We're going to cover everything, but I also want to be respectful of time. So we might move a little quickly through these because I have 10 points to get through, and Sue told me I don't have extra time. So number one, forgiveness is not pretending that the offense didn't happen. You know, so many times we hear just forgive and forget. But you know, this is the truth. Some things are impossible to forget. Right? The little things are easy to forget. You tell someone you're going to pick them up at a certain time. You show up a little late. Oh, I'm sorry, I got caught in traffic. I don't worry. You know, those things are easy to forget. Some things we can't forget. And we need to recognize, I think this, especially in the church, I think it's okay to say this, right? That there are consequences for sin. You know, Scripture teaches us that God forgives us of our sin. But that doesn't mean that there's not consequences. Think about it this way. Scripture states that the wages of sin is, does anyone know this? Death. When we enter into relationship with Jesus, we are saved from our sins. We are forgiven. The Scripture says that we are washed as white as snow. But you know what? There's still consequences. And one of them is we still die. Yesterday, we had to go to the store, and my wife was telling me about, there's this new fad that if you don't wear antiperspirant deodorant, that it reduces your cancer, or reduces your chances of getting cancer. So my wife was telling me about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, man, like another fad. And I looked at her, I said, you realize that like none of us are getting out of here alive? Like, we're all... All these fads, like, I got to do this and that and that, and that will add, you know, 3 days to my life. And, like, none of us are getting out of here alive. And that's because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Yes, God forgives us, but yet we still die. Now, we have hope for the life to come. We have hope that Jesus will return and he will raise the dead to life. But that's still a consequence that we have to face. In the same way, when we do things that wound one another, forgiveness doesn't mean that there's not consequences. Sometimes there is, and sometimes those consequences are huge. Number two, saying forgiveness is not saying that the sin or the offense doesn't matter. I think sometimes we feel that way if we say, well, if I forgive this person, then it's kind of like saying what they did doesn't matter. That's not true. Forgiveness doesn't mean that what they did doesn't matter. Matter of fact, it matters so much that Jesus had to die for it. That's how much it matters. Right? So we're not saying that. Forgiveness doesn't say that it's not a big deal, because to say that it wasn't a big deal is to say that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't a big deal. But that was the life-changing moment in history that really set all of creation on a new trajectory. And Jesus did that because of sin. Let me say this, and I want to make this really clear. Sin is a huge deal to God. And we need to call it so. You know, I don't know about you guys. One of the objections I hear about Christianity or having faith is, what do you do with God's wrath? Right? Especially when you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of wrath there. God destroys cities. God kills people. And people go like, man, what? Look at that. Your God is just mean because of his wrath. Let me say this. God's wrath is a good thing. Let me say that again. Because some of you are like, hey, okay, I think I quite heard him right. God's wrath is a good thing. Because God's wrath says this. God's wrath says that sin matters. If God looked at sin and he went, no big deal. I'll just let it go. Don't worry about it. Right? Then what we're saying is that when people do horrific things, when that gunman walked into that school in Texas and he shot a bunch of kids, are we going to look at that and go, it doesn't really matter? Sin matters. It matters to God. So be thankful that we have a God who looks at sin and takes it serious, who doesn't just go, no big deal. We'll just pass over it. Oh, that thing that happened to you, it doesn't really matter. No, God's wrath is a good thing. It means this, that he takes the brokenness of this world serious. And he says there is, right, consequences for that. Thankfully, Jesus was willing to come and pay the price so we could have redemption. Number three, forgiveness is not ceasing to feel the pain. This is the truth, that wounds take time to heal. And the bigger the wound, the longer it takes to heal. Think about this. If I go and I'm working on my motorcycle today, let's say I'm wrenching on it, and the wrench slips on my hand and I cut my finger. I go inside, I wash it off, put a Band-Aid on it in a few days. It's like it never happened. If I'm out there with a saw and I slip and chop off my leg, right? I'm not going to go inside, rinse it off, pull a Band-Aid on it in a few days, I'm good to go. Right? I'm going to have a severe problem on my hands. The bigger the wound, the longer it takes to heal. So I want you to hear this very clearly. If you're here and you're wrestling with someone or something, and someone's telling you, just get over it, time to move on, no one gets to tell you how long it takes to heal. No one gets to tell you that. Now, that's not a license to withhold forgiveness. That's not a license to walk in bitterness. But it is saying it's okay to take time to heal. And only you and the Lord get to decide that. So if you're here and you're wrestling with something, it's going to take time. Number four, forgiveness does not enable continuous sin. Or forgiveness does not mean enabling continuous sin. Meaning this, that forgiveness doesn't mean that you need to be a doormat to unrepentant sin. Now I want you to catch this, that I said unrepentant. There's a huge difference between a person who struggles and stumbles and then repents for that, and someone who lives in kind of direct defiance to God's word. I think of a gal who the Lord allowed me to walk with her when I was, oh man, this was 10 plus years ago. I was a young pastor, and she had a husband who had severe dependency issues, addiction issues. And it was eroding their marriage. It was affecting their kids. And finally she said, you know what? You don't get to do that in this house anymore. I love you. I want to be married to you. I want our marriage healed. But you're not going to do that here. So if you're going to do that, you got to move out. And she kicked his butt out. And she came to church and was like, Pastor, is that all right? And I was like, yeah, that's all right. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to be a doormat. It doesn't mean that you have to enable sin. It's okay to say, you know what? There are boundaries. And if you're wrestling with something right now, and maybe there's something in life and you kind of feel like you're stuck, I want to recommend a book to you. It's written by James Dobson, and it's called Love Must Be Tough. Love Must Be Tough. It is an excellent book. It's about how to live in forgiveness, but yet have boundaries. So if you're here and you're wrestling with something, great book for you to read. Number five, the fifth thing that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not a promise of reconciliation. Or maybe another way to say that would be this, a guarantee of reconciliation. Now, I know that this might be a little controversial, and there are people who I respect and who I love who would completely disagree with what I just said. And I would say, okay, but I don't believe this. I don't believe that forgiveness necessarily means that there will be reconciliation. Reconciliation, as far as I understand Scripture, is the fruit of forgiveness from the person who has been wounded and the repentance of the person who has done the wounding. Right? There are two elements involved in reconciliation. Forgiveness being granted and repentance. I don't believe without both that reconciliation can ever truly happen. It can maybe on the surface, but many times those things live underneath the surface. For there to be true reconciliation, there needs to be both repentance and forgiveness granted. Now, let me say this, if you are here today and maybe you are wrestling with something, and maybe the person has repented, and maybe you have chosen to walk in forgiveness, that does not mean that there has to be reconciliation. Sometimes relationships are so badly damaged that there can't be reconciliation. Right? You think of a case in which a child has been abused. You think of a case in which there has been, you know, a series of infidelities. Now, can there be reconciliation in those situations? Absolutely. But sometimes those things have happened and it's so traumatic, it's so terrible that those relationships can't go on as they were before. And if you're in a place like that and you've been condemned by religious people who have told you, well, you just need to forgive and forget and you need to just move on, I'm here telling you, it's okay. It's okay if you go, you know what, this relationship has been so wounded, this situation is so broken that I can't just go on like it never happened. It's okay to feel that way, and there are times when it's appropriate to walk in that as well. So forgiveness doesn't guarantee that there will be reconciliation. But this is what forgiveness is. And again, hey, look at that, I have plenty of time. I'm going to keep there. Well, I'm going long. All right. You guys are so quiet today. Are you guys connecting with this? All right. Three of you, sweet. All right. What forgiveness is, five things. First and foremost, decision is a forgiveness. Forgiveness is a decision. My dyslexia kicked in there for a second. Forgiveness is a decision. A person who wants to be obedient to Christ and grant forgiveness needs to make a decision to forgive. You know, here's the reality. Our feelings, they come and go. They change daily. You can be feeling one thing one day, and the next day be completely different on, right? Many of us know, right? Especially those who have been married for a while, like, yep, know that feeling, right? There are times, right, you feel one thing, and a minute later, you feel the complete exact opposite. This is the reality. And I know we live in a world that teaches very contrary to this, but the reality is this, that we can't necessarily trust our feelings. Our feelings, we might feel very passionate or very determined or very set in a certain way, and we can be 100% wrong. I know because I've been there. I have felt very passionately about something to realize, wow, I was completely wrong about this. So we can't necessarily trust our feelings, but what we can do is we can make a decision. And even that decision can go against our feelings. Right? I mean, think about it. We do things all the time that we don't feel great about. If you've ever been on a diet, you know 100% what I'm talking about. Right? You're like, I want ice cream and a cupcake. But you're like, I'm making the decision to eat healthy. I'm making a decision not to do that. I put up with my in-laws when I have to see them. I don't want to do that. I choose to do that. Angela's at home sick, so I can say that. So, right, we might not always feel good about it, but we can make the decision to do it. And forgiveness is the exact same. We got to make a decision. If you're here and you're wrestling with something, if you have been wounded and you are wrestling, like, what does forgiveness look like? First and foremost, it looks like a decision. You have to make a decision. I choose to forgive this person. Number two, forgiveness is an ongoing process. Just as forgiveness is a decision, it's likely a decision that we're going to have to make again and again and again. Because see, what's going to happen is those feelings, they're going to keep rising up. And they're going to want to lash out. They're going to want to punish. They're going to want to seek revenge. And we got to keep on making that decision over and over and over again to forgive. It is ongoing. You know, and the reality is, that can feel a little overwhelming. Some of us maybe are sitting here going like, I keep making that decision. I keep, right? I'm going through the process. I keep making, I'm getting worn out. I find it interesting. If you remember to last week, we talked about Jesus made this beautiful statement. And I would encourage you to put this statement to memory. It is very short, but it's very powerful. But do you remember this when Jesus said this? Sufficient is the day. You remember that from last week? Sufficient is the day. We can get so caught up thinking about tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and 3 months from now, a year from now. When maybe what we need to say is, Jesus, for today, I choose to forgive this person today. Maybe you're not even ready to make that choice. Maybe you're over here and you're like, you know what? Right now, this minute, I choose to forgive. And then a minute later, you're like, all right, this minute, I choose to forgive. But as you go through the process, what you'll see is that will begin to look differently. And what you'll find is that, right, as you go through that process, that ongoing process, that forgiveness will really start taking hold. And you'll find healing in your heart. Number three, forgiveness is surrendering our right for vengeance. When we forgive, what we're doing is we're laying down our right to avenge ourselves. It says this, that we don't need to retaliate. We don't need to go after them. But we lay that down. Because isn't this the reality, that when we retaliate, we actually don't feel any better? I mean, think about it. If you've ever been in an argument, a disagreement, which every single person in this room, we all have, what happens? One person says something loud or nasty, so the next person says something even louder and even nastier. So then that person says something even louder and nastier. And this person, right? And it just goes on and on and on and gets higher and higher. And then until finally one person just walks away or explodes, whatever. Does the person who said the nastiest, loudest thing feel better? Don't shake your head, yes. Maybe for a second. But no, what do you end up leaving, walking away from the situation going, I can't believe that person just said all those terrible things about me. Right? You just feel even more wounded. No one feels like they won. You just feel beat up. Vengeance never heals. It never will. I know we're told that, right? Every action movie, right? You watch any action movie, guy falls in love, something happens, right? Someone kills his wife, so he's seeking revenge. He's going to kill the entire crew, right? And then suddenly he's happy at the end. Like, no, you're not. He's still got to live with the brokenness. Vengeance never heals. So what Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to lay that down. And listen to what he says happens in Romans 12. He says, never avenge yourselves. This is Paul writing. Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Remember we talked about that wrath of God earlier. Paul says that when we choose to forgive, when we choose to lay down vengeance, what we're doing is we're putting that person in God's hands. You know what, Lord? you know what happened. You know what this person did. I'm giving them to you. I'm giving them to you. One of two things will happen. Either God's Spirit will minister to that person in such a way that leads them to repentance, in which they will repent for their sin, and they will accept the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. Or B, they will stand strong where they are, they will reject God, and they will ultimately suffer his wrath. I mean, when you read the book, it seems like that's really the only two things that can happen. So when we choose to forgive, what we do is we say, God, I lay down my right and I give them to you. Number four, forgiveness sets us free from bitterness and hatred. When we forgive, there's this idea out there that says forgiveness is weakness. No, 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 no. Forgiveness is healing. Because you see what happens when we choose to forgive, when we choose to surrender our right for vengeance, what it is it's like unshackling a chain from our leg. It's opening our hearts to receive healing from the Lord. See, bitterness puts up a wall between us and God. And if you are here and you're wrestling with bitterness, I want to encourage you to lay that down. Because if you hang on to that, right, some of us, and I've been there, where we want to hang on to our bitterness, we want to hang on to our hatred, and then we go, God, why aren't you doing anything? And the reality is we've closed the door to God. Right? It'd be like if I was in a room and there was a fire and you were in the room next to it and you had a fire extinguisher and I'm yelling for you, come in here, the room's on fire, bring the fire extinguisher, and then I lock the door. And you're going, Brent, you got to unlock the door. Brent, you got to unlock the door. You start kicking the door. Brent, you got to unlock the door. And I'm screaming because of the fire. Some of us, right, we're hanging on to that bitterness. We're hanging on to that hatred. We're choosing, I will not forgive this person. I hate this person. Right, we're saying terrible, nasty things, believing and hoping for those terrible, nasty things. And God's saying, just unlock the door. Unlock the door so I can get in. I can put out the fire. Forgiveness sets us free. And number five, I think, is tied right in with that. And that's forgiveness opens the door to the supernatural. When we make the decision to forgive, I get it. We might not feel like it. We might not even like it. But when we make that decision, we say, I'm choosing to forgive. I'm choosing to lay down my rights for vengeance. What we do is we open the door for God to supernaturally move in our life, to bring healing, and to even bring reconciliation to the things that seem impossible. I have never seen, I've been serving in full-time ministry for 12 years now. It's crazy. I have never seen a person get out of a wheelchair and walk. I would love to. I believe that God does those things, 100%. But I've never seen it. I've never seen a dead person come back to life. Do I believe it happens? Absolutely, because Scripture says it happens. But I've never seen it. But you know what I have seen? I have sat in rooms with couples, and the thought that has gone through my head is, these people are getting a divorce. There is no way. I have heard some things that I've just gone, I couldn't even imagine you could do that. And I have sat in rooms, and I'm being honest with you here, I have sat in rooms and gone, I've gone home and told Angela, like, and I have watched as God has done the impossible. I have watched as God has brought healing into situations that my natural self would go, there's no way. I have watched as God has healed hearts in such ways where I'm like, how are you, like, I wonder, like, how are you not affected by this? How can you treat this person like this? And they go, because God has healed. because God has done the supernatural. You know, when we open our hearts to forgiveness, when we extend forgiveness, we open the door for God to do amazing things. And part of that, too, is I believe this, is that when we open up ourselves to forgiveness, we extend forgiveness, we allow God to work through us. I know people who have gone through horrific experiences and are now on the other side of it, and they are using what they've gone through to help others. Where they're giving their testimony, they're sharing about God's redeeming grace. And I go, man, doesn't talking about this stuff kind of reopen up all those wounds? And they go, no, God didn't do those things to me, but God brought me through them, and God is now using my story to impact the lives of others. And I just go, like, man, that's amazing. You know, sometimes when we go through terrible things, we think that no one else has ever experienced it. We think we're the only one, when the reality is there's lots of people who've gone through similar things. Maybe you're here today and God wants to use your story. Maybe God wants to use you in your family, in your job, here in your church, in your community. He wants you to share your story, and he wants you to talk and help others who are going through something similar. Because the world needs to know that there's hope. Who's best equipped to help those parents in Texas who have experienced a tragedy that few of us could even imagine? Ones who have gone through it. They're the ones whose voices are going to be the loudest. Right? Might God want to use your story to help another person? I believe that he does. Forgiveness is difficult. It will cost us. It takes time. But when we choose to forgive, not only are we being obedient to Jesus, but I believe this, that we are inviting healing into our own hearts. So as we think about the Lord's Prayer, I wonder about when we pray, what if we prayed something like this? Father, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die for my sin. Even though I don't deserve your forgiveness, by your grace you give it to me. So just as you forgive, and I know that you call me to forgive, I make the decision to release those who have wounded me. I let go of my desire for retaliation. Lord, you know how painful this is, but I'm trusting that you can heal me. Help me to release my bitterness and to be transformed by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe this, that if we will pray this way, if we will walk in these prayers, not only will our prayer lives be more effective, but we will see the evidence of God's presence in our lives. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think about forgiveness, first and foremost, we recognize, God, that you are a God who forgives. So, Lord, we thank you for the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that you are not counting our sins against us, but you are forgiving us. Lord, as we walk in that, help us to forgive others. Lord, I pray for every person here, first and foremost, if there's anyone who does not know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, that today they would surrender their heart to you, that they would open their heart and surrender their life to you, and that you would be their Lord and Savior. And Lord, for all of us who have experienced pain, for those who are suffering through pain today, God, may you bring comfort to their heart. May you bring healing to the situation. And Lord, may they look to you as their example of what forgiveness looks like. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. I invite you to stand. Okay. I forgave my sin. Yeah.
will know that I live.
Everybody can be seated, please.
Well, I'm going to invite our deacons forward this morning as we get ready to receive our offering. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we give, as we sow into the kingdom today, we pray that these resources would go forward and they would help expand your kingdom. God, may they be a blessing to those whose lives they impact. And Father, we pray that you would continue to provide for all our needs each and every day. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Awesome. Well, with that, I have a couple quick announcements. First and foremost, everyone should have received a bulletin when you came in. Did everyone grab one?